The show you're about to hear is a member of the Plains Talkers Podcast Network. To find out more, go to PlainsTalkersPodcast.com. Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plains Talkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my, it's not quite Thanksgiving yet, but I'm feeling trypto-fantastic co-host Aramis Perez. Aramis, sir, how are you tonight?
Not actually a huge fan of turkey, but I'm doing good.
What? Oh, that's just not right. let's go into Untap, Upkeep, and Draw. Before we begin tonight, we'd like to remind you that this episode, and every episode, of the Plains Talkers Podcast is sponsored by Kerwin's Game Store. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. With their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone, Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. With locations in both Catskill, New York, and now on the second floor of the Poughkeepsie Gallery in Poughkeepsie, New York, Kerwin's is the absolute best place to go in gaming. Now, if you're not in New York State, you know, we get that, but they've got a great website you definitely should check out. Go to KGS Online. That's Kite Go Samuel Online, or Kerwin's Game Store, online.com. And put in the promo code PlainsTalkers at checkout, and you will get 5% off your online order. We also want to take this second to recognize our rare level patrons. Steve, Spencer, Chiba Tank, Nurse Gamer VJ, Bell, Josh, Jonathan, George, David, Anthony, and Dragon D's Nuts, along with Levi, who's our reigning champion. We also want to take a second to shout out our Mythic Rare patrons, Jake and Jonathan, as well as Imagine Dragon the Sea Across Your Face. I love that. And then we also cannot forget our producer level patron, Jamie. Listen, these people do so much for the show. We couldn't operate without them anymore. We are very thankful for them. Some of the benefits you get as being a patron is obviously first dibs at our win a box, which a lot of guys took us up on that this month, as well as getting first shot at our Commander Craft broadcast. Nice pivot there, which we do every Wednesday night. We want to remind you. We play Paper Commander with two listeners on Wednesday nights around 7 p.m. We broadcast it here through Twitch and Facebook. So to find out more about becoming a patron, go to patreon.com/planestalkers. We also want to remind you that we are the flagship podcast for the Plains Talkers Network of Podcasts. Our sister show, Cantrip Cartel, is launched. They're on Anchor at anchor.fm/Cantrip Cartel. And you can download them on almost all the podcatchers out there. For more, hit them up on our Discord. They have their own area. You can just look up Cantrip Cartel in there. And that's at discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. Finally, we want to remind you we do have a survey, survey.planestalkerspodcast.com, where you can tell us how we're doing. But before we do anything else, Aramis, it's Monday. Sir, how the hell are you?
I'm doing pretty good. We had a really nice weekend. Dropped my brother-in-law back over to his place, and that morning me and my wife got our boosters and my son got his first dose of his vaccine, so we're nice. All poked.
Oh, nice. I've got to get mine this week. And for me, by the way, we're still in Untap, and I'm untapping Druthers Brewery Truth Serum. This'll end well.
Great.
Yeah, we also had a weekend. We went and actually did the 21st birthday for the oldest. So we went down to Oswego. We ended up taking him to Destiny USA. We took him to Margaritaville. He had many drinks, many rum drinks, and it was as funny as you think it would be.
I have no idea how that would go.
And then we did something cool. We did an escape room, but it was a VR escape room. So they put like the Oculus stuff on our heads and gave us the little trigger things. And you had to escape out of like fighting a dragon or something. It was really, really cool. We enjoyed the hell out of that. I mean, we were gone most of the day Saturday, so Sunday we just chilled out, which I needed, you know, because I'm old, and so even just a day of travel makes me want to crawl into my hidey hole and never speak again. So, anything else going on? Did you get any magic in, or?
No, didn't get any magic in over the weekend. I mean, you know, outside of the typical playing arena.
Yeah.
And, you know, just Sunday, stuff. Like you, we kind of just relaxed. I mean, because you know, driving back and forth from Ithaca is a, you know, that's a day.
Well, you know what? It's about as far as I go to Oswego. So yeah, about 2.5 hours. So
yeah, it's about 3 hours or so from where I am. So you know, we drive down, drop them off, basically turn right back around and come right back. So yeah. it's a full day of driving. But it's a beautiful drive. I don't mind it one bit. We're actually going to be going back to get him in a couple of weeks for Thanksgiving. So that'll be nice to see him again. And like I said, you know, we got our shots and we all felt pretty good the next day, which is great. And yeah, so.
Well, that's cool. So listen, we're gonna go right into upkeep because we have a show and a half. So tonight we are again going to forego the state of standard. As well as we're going to forego something we normally do on pre-release weekends. But unfortunately, with everything going on, and it's so close to the last one, we're going to forego our pre-release primer, where we are like, grab these cards if you open these. Listen, guys, go do pre-release. It's this Friday. Go to your local game store. If you feel comfortable sitting down and playing, great. But if not, at least go and pick up a couple of pre-release packs. I'm assuming we're going to try to do that. I don't know if we can do it Friday or not, but I'm assuming we're going to try to play. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you if we were still hoping to do that. I mean, I'm
always
go
hoping
down.
To do that. So
yeah, I'm playing. I'm running down on Friday to see if I can pick some up. I think so.
Yeah, I think I might be down too. I think I might take Friday off from work. They're take a bunch of people at my job. I work for a different division, so like I get different holidays than they do. They have Thursday and Friday, or Thursday off, and then they're taking Friday off. I have neither. So I may go into work Thursday, do a lot of like the IT stuff I need to do, and then Friday just chill. But we'll see. But I think we might be able to do a game Friday night. And then so let's get into upkeep, though. So we're going to go through that. So we're going to forego State of Standard and the Primer. And we're going to go right into card previews because, you know, we've only doing two previews apiece. Again, this set is pretty good. We'll kind of go touch on that. And then we're going to go right into, we're going to skip combat and go right into what a lot of people are listening for, which is our win a box deck lists. So we do have our deck lists. Aramis and I are going to analyze them. We're going to kind of give you guys a pre-release, you know, a primer for it. We're looking forward to people recording the shows so that we can get them out. So that's kind of our show tonight. So let's get right into main phase.
Main phase.
All right, so main phase. As I said, we're going to forego the state of standard. Here's what's going on in standard. Auron's Epiphany. Thank you. All right, moving on. Crimson Vow previews. So, again, we're going to kind of go over a little bit of some of the cards. Aramis and I each chose two, I think, tonight. Here's the thing. I mean, we haven't even scratched the surface of this, but I feel kind of comfortable saying this. It seems like the power level in CV is a little bit lacking. I don't know. What do you think?
They've turned the dial back, for sure. Yeah.
Like, a 3-mana planeswalker like Kaya, being as useless as she is unusual.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that.
Oh, dude, come on. It would be one thing if it hit creatures, but because it hits tokens... Like, you're never going to play it on turn three because it has no way to defend itself. So, if you're playing it on turn three on a token, like, no. Kaya sucks. She's garbage.
She's better than the new Audric.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly.
I think that is the biggest letdown of the set overall. It's just how horribly bad Audric is.
I think some of these are just bad. Again, I really think they should have reprinted Snapcaster. But
it wouldn't have worked here. If they were going to do it, they would have had to do it on Midnight Hunt.
I know.
They're not going to do a one of flashback card in this set.
I know. But let's get into the previews a little bit. So like I said, it does seem like they're dialed back a little bit. But, you know, it's still worthwhile. It's going to make for an interesting standard.
Oh, there's plenty of good stuff in here.
Yeah. Again, I still think Auron's Epiphany is out soon. Soon. I will be very surprised if that ain't banned soon. So let's get into it, though. You're going to start us off with... I love this card, by the way.
Yeah, so I'm going to start off with a card that is purely for limited. Unless some crazy reanimator strategy comes up either in standard or another format, maybe commander. But anyway, Dreadfast Demon. It is a rare creature from the set. It is a 6/6 flyer for 5 colorless and 2 black, so 7 mana. So like I said, standard's not going to see this unless a reanimator becomes a thing.
Right.
It is a flyer, like I said, at the beginning of your end step, sacrifice a non-demon creature. If you do, create a token that's a copy of Dreadfast Demon. So the
still
quote unquote
won't have haste, but you'll have a blocker.
No, but the drawback is that you're going to get a lot of these on the board, meaning you have to sacrifice a bunch of creatures each turn.
Right.
But that means you have a bunch of 6/6 flyers on the board, and I don't see where that's a problem.
No.
In limited, this is a late game, close out the game bomb. It's obviously, you know, yes, it dies to removal. And it's really expensive. And if it dies right away, you know, it's sad face. But it's a cool card. I read it and I was like, this is kind of interesting. It's fun. It's nice. It's, you know, we don't always have to go for the cards to be, oh, this is going to be a card that's 4 of in every standard deck. You're going to have to play this and it's going to be $30 a piece. No, this is not going to be an expensive rare. I don't think there's going to be too many of those in this set. But it's a fun card. Like I said, limited, sealed, especially pre-release this weekend.
I could see this in Commander.
That's a fun
Commander card.
This is a very interesting Commander card, especially if you have token strategies or ways to either duplicate its trigger or, you know, cheat it into play early or something. Because if it's the only creature on the board, you don't have to sacrifice it because it specifically says non-demon, and this is a demon. So if you don't have any food, it's not like the old big black demon creatures of the past where, like, Lord of the Pit, if you didn't have a creature to sacrifice, it punched you in the face for 7 damage.
Yeah.
Oh. This just says, oh, you don't got anything else for me? All right.
Cool, that's whatever. Okay. I'll eat them.
It's all good. It's all good. I'll go over there. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a fun card. It's cool. I mean, going back real quick to what you were saying about Alrun's Epiphany, they did reprint Thalia, Guardian of Thraben, in this set, which I think can have... Even just adding that extra mana could be the difference, but I still think they're probably going to ban Epiphany. Yeah,
so I think Epiphany soon. I will be very surprised if we hit December. Now I'm not betting on it. I'm not betting, but I would say
Thalia
I'll be surprised.
Thalia was a very powerful reprint, and I'm very happy to see her back. It'll be nice to see where she slots in.
All right, I chose a dual face card. Both of mine were actually dual face. This one's a mythic. Henrika Domnathy. I just like the choices on this. I like the way it works, and I like the fact that one of the choices kind of makes you stop having to get choices. So she's 2 black, 2 colorless. So she comes in. She's a legendary vampire for 1/3 mythic, flying. And at the beginning of combat on your turn, choose one that hasn't been chosen. So you can choose either each player sacrifices a creature, you draw a card and you lose one life, or you transform her. See, I like that because, you know what? If I'm out of creatures, if things went south, then, you know, I'll just transform her and I save her from being wasted. And then the other side of her, she becomes a 3/4 vampire, Henrika Infernal Seer. And it says flying, death touch, and lifelink. So she gets a couple of more keywords. 2 black and a colorless. Each creature you control with flying, death touch, and or lifelinks gets 1/0 until end of turn. I just like the flavor of her. I think I'm liking the powerful black vampires. I think we're going to see a black vampire deck. You know, or black and red. But I definitely, you know, there's some pretty bonkers vamps in this set. What do you think?
I mean, again, I think she's another, you know, very powerful limited card.
Right.
If you choose to transform her right away, you completely can. I mean, there's nothing that says you have to choose all 3 before you transform. You can do whatever order you want. I think the most common application for her would probably be drawing a card and then transforming her.
Right.
Unless they're... Like, if there's 2 other... If you have 1 other creature and they only have 1 creature on the board, then yeah, okay. We each sack a creature. I'll kill your guy. And then, you know, go through the rest of the sequences. Once she flips over...
I'd be a little nervous with...
leaving her around?
Instant removal. I'd be concerned
that's...
Each player sacrifices a creature. Great, I'm going to fatal push your blank. Oh, fuck.
I mean, she dies to removal anyway.
Yeah,
So, you know, and the trigger still happens. So that either way, they're still losing a creature, and then they're also going to lose the card taking care of her. So if she's the only creature you have on the board, then, you know, you two for one them.
Yep.
Once she flips over, she's, you know, flying, Death Touch, and Lifelink is a pretty powerful combination of abilities. And the fact that she pumps herself and anybody else on your team with any of those abilities is nice. It would have been interesting. I kind of feel like as a mythic, maybe tack on another mana there and say each creature you control gets +1/+0, and then your choice of flying, Death Touch, and Lifelink land of turn.
And then
if you can manage to activate it three times, you know, then all your creatures get +3/+0 in all three abilities. I think that would be pretty awesome.
I think you're right about one thing. I think you're going to do draw a card and then transform. So
yeah, you're going to try to get some value.
You're going to say you curve out on this the right way. Okay, she comes down on four, and maybe if you have a creature, everybody sacks one. All right, whatevs. You know, next turn five. All right, we draw a card, we lose a life. Sure. But then turn six, now you transform her. She becomes a 3/4 flying, Death Touch, Lifelink, and you trigger her twice. She becomes a 5/6 flying, Death Touch, Lifelink.
5/4.
5/4.
She doesn't pump her toughness.
But still, a 5/4 flying, Death Touch, Lifelink, that's nothing to sneeze at.
No. And if you even have one or two other creatures with one of those abilities, they're getting that bonus as well. So it's not like it's just her. I was just saying, I think it would have been more like mythic-y.
Yeah.
If, you know, maybe make the activated ability either an extra colorless or turn it into triple black, and then make it so that each of the creatures get the +1/+0, and then you pick which ability they get.
I don't disagree with that.
You know, that would have been cool. But as is, this is a very interesting card. It's fun. I don't know if it's going to see any play in Standard.
I still think vamps might become a thing. So
maybe. I mean, if it's one of those things where it's like it doesn't. It's where we are with creatures these days.
Right.
It doesn't do anything immediately, so it's not that great.
Well, and I mean, vamps are not zombies. Obviously, zombies between the two sets.
Yeah, but even zombies
are
legit, I'm talking
real.
Like if you're paying four mana for a creature, it should have any, like the way that creatures are built these days, if it's not something crazy like Questing Beast, it should have some kind of crazy ETB instant value. Like that sort of seems like where we are. I mean, I don't like that's where we are. Creatures have gotten a lot more powerful, and the spells aren't as powerful. Nice segue into the next card. But I think it's a very I think it's a good creature. I hope that she sees some play in Standard. It'd be nice if that happened. If not, again, another really good card in Limited. Could be a nice card and a nice commander to build around as well. I mean, Death Touch Tribal, Flying Tribal, Vampire Tribal. I mean, Nighthawk Scavenger is a thing that already has Flying, Death Touch, and Lifelink. So. Yeah.
Well, I'm a big fan. So let's you kind of hinted at it. Let's go to your next card here.
So the next card, the biggest reason I picked it is because I figure if I hadn't picked it, Benson would have yelled at me.
I would have said something.
It's a control card. I'm more of the controlly player, although I've kind of been shying away from that a little bit lately.
You have.
As I've gone more casual. But that being said, the next card I have is Wash Away. It's an instant for one blue. And it says counter target spell that wasn't cast from its owner's hand. It has cleave for one and two blue. And the bracketed text that would get removed is that wasn't cast from its owner's hand. So it becomes canceled. Straight up counter target spell. The reason I like this card is commander.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
One mana, counter your commander? Sure. Where do I sign?
Yeah.
I mean, even then, you know, it hits commanders. It hits flashback. It hits cards that are exiled from things like Light Up the Stage.
It hits
Epiphany if it's been foretold.
Yeah.
So this card is going to be the new Mystical Dispute. If you're playing blue, you're going to have, you know, you're either going to have one or two of these in the main or two or three in the sideboard, because even if they don't have Epiphany foretold, you can still use it as a regular counterspell for three mana, which is inefficient. But just to have the one mana sitting there to say, oh, look at all that prep you just did. Nope, sorry, not happening.
Right.
Where I really see this shining is in Commander. It's a very powerful weapon. There's so many things. Like, somebody steals your stuff with with Valky. Somebody steals your stuff with Gonti. They take your stuff with Robber of the Rich. They're casting their commander for the, you know, fourth time, and they're spending an extra 8 mana. You counter it for 1. I mean, come on. Just the level of feel bad that's going to be coming from that.
You just feel bad, man. That's what you roll.
That's what blue counterspells do. It's like, oh, you're going to do the thing? You spent all that time? No, you didn't. So from what I can see, this is going to be one of those cards that you're going to be seeing a lot of this in Commander. You'll probably see this in Standard.
Yeah.
Yeah, because especially where we are now, there's a lot of graveyard stuff. There's a lot of...
it's a lot of control.
Casting stuff from Exile. So
control's everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, this would have been a good card to have during Eldraine.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, stop that Bone Crusher Giant from coming out after they went on the adventure.
Well, and my last card is I chose Alchemist's... Ill-Tempered Loner. Oh, shit. It didn't copy. Okay, then. Interesting. I chose Ill-Tempered Loner. So Ill-Tempered Loner is 2 red, 2 colorless. You had to know I was going red. And it said, whenever Ill-Tempered Loner is dealt damaged... it deals that much damage to any target. And then you can pump it for a red and a colorless to give it +2/+0 until end of turn. And that's its day-bound side. If it hits the night-bound side, it becomes a werewolf, Howlpack Avenger. Whenever a permanent you control is dealt damage, Howlpack Avenger deals that much damage to any target. And then again, you can pump it for a red and a colorless to get +2/+0.
Yeah, I this card is going into my Fire Song and Sunspeaker deck.
This card will go into my Red Burn deck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You want to know why it's going to go into my Fire Song and Sunspeaker deck?
Why is that?
Star of Extinction.
Oh, you suck.
Oh, I have 5 creatures on the board. I'll cast Star of Extinction. I have 100 damage to distribute. And by the way, I gain, 100 some odd life because I had that many creatures on the board, and Firesong gives all my stuff lifelink.
I think I like this card. I mean, it is so weird to see red costed, like a 3/3 for 4 in red seems weird.
Hill Giant.
I know.
It 3/3 for 4 in red has been vanilla.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's been that way since Alpha. I mean, that's been the vanilla creature. It's been the 3/3 for 4. Except it's just, with power creep, now it's a 3/3 for 4 with a whole bunch of abilities.
Yeah, with a whole bunch of text because, apparently they don't pay by the letter anymore.
Yeah, vanilla creep. When's the last time we had a vanilla creature?
Oh. We wouldn't talk about it. There are vanilla creatures in here. We just wouldn't talk about them.
I'm going to see.
Why in the fuck would you talk about them?
I'm going to see if there are any actual just like plain old creatures with no abilities in this set. You keep talking about your card. I'm going to look.
Well, yeah. So the reason I like this card, though, is that it does seem to, I'd like to see red come back. Red needs some help. Red hasn't had anything in the last couple of sets. I mean, mono red is no longer an archetype or a deck at all.
This ain't going to do it. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
It isn't going to do it, but it's a start. I do think this sees some play in a Gruul deck. Definitely maybe in a Werewolf deck of some sort.
You kind of want to have a way to have it deal damage to itself, though.
Yeah. I don't disagree, but I think there are ways you can do that. Hell, just Frostbite the damn thing. It lives.
as long as you don't have too many
snow permanents. Yeah. But
play with fire.
Yeah. So there are things you could do. Shock isn't in here anymore, but there's like that other shock card you can try.
Play with fire, yeah.
Yeah, play with fire, that's it.
It's better shock.
Yes.
Shock strictly better. No. Yeah, it's strictly better shock.
So have you found any vanilla creatures?
No, and not even really anything that's French vanilla either. You know what that means, though, right?
No idea.
So a vanilla creature is a card with no abilities. It's just, power toughness, casting cost, and flavor text.
Right.
French vanilla means it has nothing else except for maybe one ability. So it'd be like, just a 3/3 flyer for 5.
Right.
And I'm not even seeing anything that's French vanilla so far. Everything's got, an ability and then something else.
Creep is happening. So that's kind creep of our happening. Previews. So, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, Aramis, how are you feeling about this set? I feel like it's a little bit...
There's a few cards that I intentionally didn't talk about because I think they're kind of obviously powerful,
right.
But like the cemetery cycle, those mythics, those are really good. I think those are going to see some play. Obviously, the new dual lands, them finishing the cycle is fantastic.
Yes.
Those are really, really good commander lands.
Yes, they are.
So it's nice that they're finally figuring out that, hey, when we come up with a new cycle of lands, let's finish it right away and not wait 5 years or just, you know, I don't know, never do it. Like, right. I'm really worried that Streets of New Capenna, that they're Starls? Not going to finish the Triome cycle.
That's true.
Because that's supposed to be the set with the next it's not wedges, it's supposed to be shards.
Right.
So it's a shard set, and I don't know that they're gonna do it. I mean, because I don't know if Triomes fit in a cityscape world that's like, you know, 1920s New York City, Chicago type of thing.
Never thought I'd hear.
Yeah, that. And there are no vanilla creatures in the set, and no French vanilla creatures. I think that might be a first.
That might be a first. I know,
but anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad they did that. Like I said, the mythics for the cemetery mythics, that cycle is really cool. There's a couple of other really interesting cards in this set. I mean, Faithbound Judge is really kind of cool. Turned into that.
The curses are cool. You
know. The new curses are really cool. There's a lot of really fun stuff in this set. Is it going to break things wide open? I mean, Alchemist Gambit's kind of a pain in the ass. We'll see what happens with that.
Yes, it is.
but I'm kind of glad in a sense. I mean,
yeah.
We're talking about Epiphany getting nuked, and maybe
I still
something
think they'll
else.
Nuke that too. I think they're going to get rid of extra turn spells. They have to. Because it's just.
I don't know if they're
going
to go
off.
So broad to just hit something that doesn't have the quote unquote data to back it up. I mean, yes, of course, it's an extra turn spell, and you can kind of just plug it into where Alrun's Epiphany is, but it works differently. So I'm not sure that it's the same level of oppressive as Alrun's Epiphany is, because again, it doesn't generate any threats on its own. It's hard to pass judgment on a card that hasn't been played yet.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's different because it's not something like Omnath, right, where you're like, what the fuck is this? You know, a card that literally should have been the face card for the commander precons for the set. Instead, they sort of, you know, shoehorned it in because, hey, it's Zendikar. You got to have Omnath.
Yeah.
And then they ended up just making one of the most powerful creatures ever made.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I do feel like that, you know, but this is what we wanted. We wanted them to also kind of downplay. After Eldraine, everybody was like, and
oh yeah,
really, I think War of the Spark and into Eldraine, we were like, holy shit, you know. So
I just kind of wish they'd get back to the really cool cinematic trailers. Like, I mean, like War of the Spark was fantastic with that. I liked Throne of Eldraine's. Ikoria's was kind of cheesy, but it was still kind of cool. And right, then they kind of disappeared.
Right.
I mean, they did one for Midnight Hunt, but it kind of sucked.
Yeah. I don't know that they did one for Vow, so
yeah, I'm sure they did. Yeah, yeah. I think there is one for Midnight for Crimson Vow. I'm not sure if it's available yet, but I think they said they were doing one.
Mm, well, whatever.
Yeah.
So let's do this.
The big thing is that we're all done with this until February.
Right. So thank God. Holy cow, I'm ready for a little bit of slowdown on release schedule here. Let's do this. Let's go to combat.
Combat phase.
And then realize we don't have one, so we'll go to main.
Main phase.
Okay, so, yeah, I'm ready for things to kind of slow down a little bit as far as release schedule goes, but we do want to get into, we have started our Winnabox tournament. It's going to go live tonight at 10 p.m., so after this show, which, you know, when we leave, if we're not off the, you know, it might be as soon as we go off the air, I may log into the tournament and start it. But basically, we've got our Winnabox tournament. We're doing the legendary historic 100 card brawl. Now, what we mean by legendary is this: each commander has to be unique. So in a field of 32, which we are actually 30, all 30 decks have a different commander. That was the rule we made. So people signed up, and when they signed up, they immediately took the commander they wanted. And once that commander was tapped, Nobody else could use it. So we won't see a bunch of Omnath decks. We're not going to see a bunch of Kenrith or Teferi or anything like that.
Golos.
In fact, there's no Teferi deck. So I was kind of surprised at that because a 3-mana Planeswalker that shuts off instants.
Teferi Time Raveler is banned in Historic World. Oh, that's true. Teferi Hero of Dominaria is legal.
Yeah. So we've got 32. So we've got 30. We've got two guys getting by. So Crimson Wolf got a buy. Anthony got a buy because one guy didn't put his deck list in. So I had to DQ him. Yeah. The other one is we would have had three, but around 11:30 this morning, because I said we're going to shut it down at noon. I was like, why isn't J-Gro defending his title for the third time? Why he should go for the three-peat? And he's like, you know what? I should. So, like, he rushed to get a deck in on time.
Oh, and of course he picked that command.
I know he did.
So freaking much. I hate that. Every time I see that commander, I scoop. I don't play against that guy.
So we're going to go into this now. So we're going to go through the deck list. We're very excited. Now, we're encouraging the listeners who are playing. Please, if you have the means and ability to record your match, do so. Whether you use OBS, whatever software you want to use, we would really love to have you guys record. Send them to me in Dropbox or Google Drive. I've put my information in the Discord. We'll compile them, put them together. We'll try to do a show maybe next Friday with the first week and a half of play, or first 2 weeks. And then we'll try again, you know. Well, the Friday after that's Black Friday. We might be able to do that. It depends.
I'm off, so.
Yeah, so we might just do that during the day. So let's get into this, though. So, Aramis, inside the Discord, if you want to follow along, go to Discord. You can go to discord.planestalkerspodcast.com under Crimson Vow, WAB for Winnabox, deck lists. I have them in order that we're going to take them, which is the order in which they're playing. So the first two are Mac and Spawn of Muldrotha. Like I said, when we get to Crimson Wolf, he's actually going to play the winner, I think, of... I got to pull up. You know what? That's what I wanted to pull up was the tournament bracket so that I could be like, one of these is like for that.
Hmm.
But yeah, so we're going to go in order of matchups. Aramis, I mean, part of me was like, we should open a spreadsheet because we're always like, well, I think this person will win. Well, I think this person will win. And then we never, you know, we don't, you and I don't keep score.
No.
But we could.
Yeah, we could. But if your track record on bets is any indication, you don't want to do that.
Shut the frack up. All right. So let's get into this. So our first matchup is Mac or Mangus versus Spawn of Muldrotha.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at Mac first. Mac's deck is Riel the Everwise. So fun time had by all. And he's going up against Muldrotha, who's playing, it looks like, a Merfolk. Kamena, Tyrant of Araska. So, Mac's deck, I mean, Reality Everwise, for those that don't know, and I should have Gatherer open, actually.
Gatherer, LOL. Scryfall's vastly superior.
Scryfall, whatever. I don't care. Jeepers.
Vastly superior.
Reality Everwise is a 3-mana value, 1 colorless, a blue and a red, and it says legendary creature 0/3 when it gets 1/+0 for each instant sorcery card in your graveyard, whenever you discard one or more cards for the first time each turn, draw that many cards. So he's looking for card engine value in the whole nine. Yep. His deck is full of instants and sorceries. He's got a few creatures in there, Goblin Electromancer, etc. So, yeah, it's obvious, like, an Alrun's Epiphany. Die, I'm not surprised. Enigma Drake. So, yeah, he's just going to look to play a lot of instants, try to keep control. Looks like a lot of the control on the board. And then try to sweep in with something like Enigma Drake. Or does he have the other Drake? Where's that other Drake? The one from War of Spark sets.
Oh, the Crackling Drake?
Yeah, Crackling Drake. Is that in there?
I don't see it.
Because right, I would have had. Because again, it's counting instants and sorceries both in graveyard and in exile.
Yeah, I mean, I see Kiora Best the Sea God.
Yeah, I do too. I don't think he has Crackling Drake. That's
no
surprising.
Crackling Drake's not in there.
That's a, that might have been a miss on his part. I think you would want that, given what his commander does.
He's going to draw a lot of cards, discard some stuff.
You get the card engine off of.
Is it spells? Yeah. This is purely is it spells? A lot of control. There's a few different iterations of this in the tournament because obviously you know once a Rial was taken, nobody else could take her as her commander. So there is a player with Niv-Mizzet Power-Rune.
Yeah.
This is spells, drawing cards. I mean, this is what Izzet does.
Right. And then Drotha took Kamena, Tyrant of Vraska. Here's the thing. You know what I'm not seeing a lot of in his deck? Merfolk. I'm not seeing a lot of Merfolk at all.
Svelin is in there.
Huh.
Yarimira Lake.
Yeah, he's got like 10.
Prime Speaker Vanifar. This is a pod deck.
Yeah. I mean, he's got Jade Light. I mean, he's got some in there, but...
Yeah, this is pods. So he's Frilled Mystic.
Frilled Mystic. Herald Seeker Scene. But he's got Kogla, of all things.
Marorigery. Merfolk Skydiver. Thieving Skydiver. Kinnan. Silvergill Adept.
Yeah, he's got like 10 or 12, but I mean, I just am like, it's interesting in that he didn't, because I mean, Kamena is 100% a merfolk, you know.
Zagana's a merfolk.
I mean, the guy's an incredible player. Hey, Pam, how are you tonight?
There's a ton of merfolk in here.
Oh, am I wrong? I was missing some, I thought.
Yeah, there's more in here.
All right.
I
mean, he's got a Hydroid, he's got a Brazen. You need those because of what they do.
Right.
It's an interesting deck, though. If I had to pick a winner, I don't know how you go against Riel. He has a lot of evasion, though.
Kumena's kind of sneaky because that Kumena's is going to be, I think, a little bit of a quicker deck. Green surprise. I feel like the Kumena deck has a little bit more control aspect to it.
It has some upside and it has some.
Oh, Disdainful Stoke Quench. They both have a ton of counter spells. Yeah. This is going to be really come down to, I mean, unfortunately, thankfully it's best 2 out of 3, but it's really going to come down to it how the draws go.
Right.
If one of them misses a land drop somewhere, it's going to really be a bad time.
I'm going to stick with it, though. I'm going to go with Mul'Drotha. I think I said Riel originally.
You did. Yeah, that was Mac.
I'm going to go with Mul'Drotha, I think, the more I think about it.
Okay. I'll take Riel. I think the Izzet has the potential to be sneakily explosive. I've seen some of the decks running in a sort of an Izzet shell have really crazy turns. Mul'Drotha, Kumena can go nuts too, but I feel like Riel has access to a little bit more card draw.
Yeah. All right. So, hold on. All right. Let's see. Let's go to our next matchup, which is Atom Bomb versus Mumbledown. So, Atom Bomb is playing a... Where does he play? What is he playing there? Oh, Taysa.
Taysa tokens.
Yes. Love this deck. I love Taysa. I think Taysa is underrated. But going up against the Koma deck.
Yeah. Koma's nasty.
Rip, Taysa.
Koma, if he's able to get that down and even survive to one upkeep, I mean, I'm not sure he has a way to get rid of it. Heliod's Punishment will slow it down for a while.
Yeah, but I mean, the fact is that, you know, he can tap Taysa, shut off her activate. She doesn't have activated, does she? She just says static.
Yeah, her abilities are all static.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got Ugin. He's got Nissa. He's got pretty much the best historic cards out there.
I mean, Taste is running Bolas's Citadel. That card can be insane.
Yeah.
If he has a way to gain some life, does he have a...
I mean, Veil of Summer is useless for him right now. He has Veil of Summer in the main. That's a wasted card.
Yeah. That's all right, though.
Yeah, it's all right.
Come on, where is... I'm looking to see if the Taste of deck is running Aetherflux Reservoir.
It should be, but I don't think it is.
It is not. Yeah, so for people playing in Brawl, if you're playing black, if you play Aetherflux Reservoir and Bolas's Citadel, after a while the spells become free.
Yeah.
And you actually net life off of them, and you can basically chain off the life that you need to kill somebody in one turn pretty quickly. So just keep that in mind. It's an expensive 10 mana, 2 artifact combo, but it's kind of gross.
I'm going to go with Adam.
I would say the Coma deck is favored.
I'm going to go with Coma. I'm glad to go with
Coma. Coma's definitely favored. The amount of ramp that Simic has access to in Brawl is not insignificant at all. Coma can come down in turn 5.
Yeah. I mean, he has some, if you draw going against this deck, I mean, if you have, Veil of Summer, you're going to mulligan. But yeah, I think Mumbledown's got this. So the next matchup, so the winner of the first two will play each other. Vic is playing JJCD. This is an interesting matchup that happened in that two of the more powerful five-color decks are facing off. So everybody has to be a little bit happy here. In that nobody wanted to face either one of these decks. Vic is running a Kenrith, the Return of the King, or Return King. So he's got access to all five colors. He's got Jinkataxis in there.
I was going to say, that card is so disgusting.
It really is. He's running obviously an Alrun's Epiphany. He's running a couple of the Ley Lines.
He's got a Sika in there in his deck.
He does have a Sika in his deck. He's running Chromatic Orrery, which I love in this deck. Because you want the mana to be able to start doing crazy dumb shit. He's got a good build. He does have the World Tree, which is also going to help him. Not a lot of gods, so he's going to do that mainly for mana fixing, I think.
Yeah, well, it's incredible mana fixing.
Yeah.
I mean, so, it's basically a Chromatic Lantern that you can't really interact with unless you're playing Field of Ruin.
Right. So on the other side, we've got JJCD, who is playing Asika as his commander. And it's almost a mirror match. They have a lot of the same cards. I do see Ulamog on JJ's side.
Which is interesting because that's not going to trigger the exile on cast if he gets it off of Prismatic Bridge.
Right.
So he's looking to hard cast this.
Right. He is running a Teferi Protection. He's running Elish Norn. Inexorable Kaya.
Cogla, Titan Ape. I mean, both of these decks are, and there's a Shieldred Whispering one.
He's playing more of a Super Friends Asika deck.
Well,
he's got a lot of Planeswalkers.
Brawl is kind of, if you're going five color in Brawl, I mean, if you're going five color in Commander, it's basically the same thing. It's five color good stuff.
Right.
You find the best cards you can and you shove them in there because why the hell not?
Exactly. I'm gonna side with Vic on this one. I think because the value with Kenrith, the being able to gain life, the being able to swing in and haste, for just a red. While JJCD has a lot of removal, I like the Kenrith build that Vic put together.
I think the advantage that Vic is going to have is the fact that they're both five color decks, but Kenrith is a lot easier to cast.
True.
That's one of the reasons that people hate Golo so much, is because he's five colorless mana for a five color commander, so you can just cast him for five, doesn't matter what lands you have. The other reason is of course that he searches up a land and pays for half of his tax, so you have to kill him. That's the other big thing. But Kenrith only costs one white to cast, and then his other abilities unlock as you get the mana for them. Whereas if you want to cast a Prismatic Bridge, you need Wooburg. So I have an Asika deck that I play in Brawl. It's not this. I play God Tribal. It's nowhere near as good. Yeah. It's a whole hell of a lot more fun when it goes off. I'll tell you that, though. Trying to crash Arena when you pop off the World Tree and get all the gods into play at the same time.
It's or really timeout, fun to see. Yes.
Yeah. It's fun to see the program struggle with such a simple interaction because it wants to do all the bells and whistles.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I like the fact that JJ's got Elish Norn. That card's just ridiculous. I don't know that Vic is running Elish Norn. So.
Vic has Shield Red.
Yeah.
And Jyn Gitaxias, which, yeah.
So it's going to be interesting. Again, I'm going to root for Vic, though. I think Vic's got a.
Oh, there's Vorinclex in there, too. Yeah. Both Vorinclex.
Yeah. Let's move on to the next one. We've got Kyle versus Kay Pleiter. So Kyle's playing Asmodeus the Archfiend. So
mono black.
Yeah. Which is an interesting, you know what? I like this for him. Kyle is still learning. You know, he's still trying to figure out how, you know, what works. So he's, you know, going mono black is a genius idea for what this is. His deck is exactly what you would expect it to be. On the other side of that, oh, Mardu Outrider. Is it Mardu Outrider? Is Mardu Outrider black only? Yeah, it is. Holy shit. That was misnamed. Mm-hmm. Kay Pleiter, though. He is running
Niv-Mizzet Reborn.
Whew. So another five color.
Another five color good stuff, and this has got all the good stuff. It's got Casualties of War,
yep.
Binding the Old Gods, Ashiok Nightmare Muse. A lot of especially like the two colored really nasty stuff. Elspeth Conquers Death. Field of the Dead, obviously. Fires of Invention. You got Garrick. It's got Golos. Hydroid Krasis. I'm actually surprised. I don't think there is a Golos deck in this field, is there?
There is a Golos. There is. Somebody did take
There
Golos.
Is a Golos.
Oh, hell okay. Yeah.
I was going to say, I don't remember seeing it. I looked through them, and maybe it's just Mystics. Is, you know, Golos okay. Is terrible.
I will say this. I like Pleiter's deck list because it's in alphabetical fucking order. he's got a lot to go with. Where Kyle might have a better shot is that he might be able, if he can keep from the board wipe and keep from the removal, he's got cheap, he's monocolor. He's, you know, he can remove stuff. No?
I think Pleiter's just got too much good stuff in there. There's too many weapons.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing. I'm just
especially with Niv-Mizzet. He casts it. He's drawing upwards of 10 cards.
Yeah, and everything's double colored. All of his shit.
Yeah, it's just Niv-Mizzet is really really
Dream
really
Trawler. Game. Jesus Christ.
Oh yeah, making a return. I mean, Clothis is in here. Coma's in there. Yeah. Night of Autumn. Kiora. Kenrith is in there. Teferi's in there. Scarab God's in there. Time Wipe. Tyrant Scorn. Ugin's in there. Uro's in there. Valky's in there. Vraska. I mean, yuck.
So the next... All right, so let's go to the next one. So we've got Crayfin versus my buddy Ember. So Crayfin is running... If I can get my mouse...
It's a Grumgully, looks like.
Yeah, he's running Grumgully. So creatures all day, every day. Non-human creatures.
Getting big. I'm going to give Ember the advantage.
I am too.
She's playing Tatiova.
Yeah. And he's running everything you need to run for that. He's got your Triska Decaphile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sea Dasher, Teferi Master of Time, Teferi's Angel's Insight.
Please tell me there's a scooch for me here.
They've got all the tools. Elder Gargaroth, Toski.
No scooch swarm. I'm upset.
Dude, MB, what are you doing there? Why no scooch swarm? I'm going to go with MB on this as well. I was going to go MB anyway because, you know, they're one of my favorite people on the planet. So
I just think Tatiova is incredibly explosive. The one downside that Tatiova has is that it really needs her on the board to really go crazy.
Well, it can do okay without it. He has ways to remove it. Like, he's got a bit.
once Tatiova costs like 9, yeah, it's not really worth it. So if he if Kyle holds his removal until Tatiova hits the board and he can
Crayfin,
he can consistently remove it, then it yeah, slows that deck down so much where it really it loses a lot of gas. But if Ember's able to stick Tatiova and untap and start playing lands, it snowballs so fast.
Ember saying too, I really should have put Scoot's Warp in. Oops.
I'm wondering,
Emby, we're still rooting for you, buddy.
Oh, what's the name of that stupid card from Zendikar Rising? The ancient. It's that elemental that lets you play lands from your graveyard, but also doubles your landfall triggers.
Oh, the ancient Green Warden or something?
Yeah, that needed to be in here too.
Yeah. I like it,
that
though.
That card is nuts. I mean, is there a Ramunap Excavator?
I don't see it.
Ember, you're missing some toys that really, really would have been good for this deck. I still think you have an advantage, but you were missing some toys.
Yeah. Well, so the next matchup is going to be Nikol Rubilus, who's also in the chat, versus Netrock. Nikol is playing Sithis, Harvest Hand. Ooh, I still love that card.
That's such a good. That's so good. Such a good commander.
Yeah. It's a green and a white. Whenever you cast an enchantment, you gain a life and draw a card. So, enchantments and life gain for days. Running exactly what you need them to run. Dry to the Elysian Grove. Envy, how did you not have that either? Netrock, on the other hand, is running a
Sarah.
Can you tell us his commander?
It's on the bottom.
Oh, Sarah.
The Viper's Fang.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Interesting.
I'm assuming that's what it is.
Well, you know what? Let me go up because I did keep the commander's channel. So at least I've taken commanders, and I think you're right. For that reason, I was like, yeah, no, and I better take a look at that. Let's see. Who is that? We're looking at Netrock, right?
Yeah, Netrock.
Finn the Fangbearer.
Oh, it's Finn. Okay.
Yeah.
That's not in here then.
It's not in there. I'll put
it. It must have gotten cut off when it got copy pasted.
Yeah, that's just it. I was like, guys, put it in the decklist channel, and then they would put it in with the commanders. I'm like, oh, for frick's sake.
Hey, this makes a whole lot more sense if it's Finn. Okay.
Yeah, I think I can edit this because I am, you know.
Carnage Tyrant. That card's actually really hard to deal with.
Finn? Oh, yeah, because it's giving poison
Carnage. Carnage Tyrant.
Yeah. Oh, Carnage Tyrant? I love Carnage Tyrant. That's the best card in Ixalan.
That card is so hard to deal with.
I don't blame him, though. Like, with running Finn, I mean, you're looking for the poison counters.
Yeah.
Nikol Rubilus is... So we've got enchantments versus poison.
Death Touch, yeah. Death Touch Tribal.
God, I don't know, dude. I don't know which way to hit on that.
They're both 2-mana commanders, so they're both going to come down early. I think that... This might be one where it ends up being a race. Sithis can win the race if it gets the removal,
yeah.
Or if it can get a good turn and slap in all that glitters on something that has evasion. Otherwise, Finn can kill them fairly quickly.
Yeah, Finn's got a lot going on here and a lot of ways to.
But
to
I think there's
ramp. Veil of Summer again will be useless for Finn. Because he's not playing blue or black, so
it's got 9 lives, minimus containment, pacifism doesn't really do anything.
Coldless
Fetters doesn't really do anything. He doesn't have. There's not really any way that there's cast out, baffling end, banishing light. I mean, basically, he's going to need to draw all of his Nikol's going to have to draw all of his removal.
Yeah,
because. Anything that he does, it's pretty much all exile stuff, and he's just going to slap it back in the command zone. He's not really going to care.
Yeah.
Because making it so it can't attack or block doesn't matter for Finn, and I don't see Swords to Plowshares in here.
No, I didn't either, actually. I did notice that. So.
All
right.
The Death Touch is going to be very relevant.
Yep. I agree. Vamp Demigod. He's playing Angel's Knight. So he's got Infernal of the Star Mounts. Ouch. So versus Angel Knights and their Baral. Vamp Demigod so two is, monos.
Yeah, but Vamp Demigod is playing Dragon's Approach.
Yes.
This is a Dragon's Approach deck. The way it needs to be, 21 copies of Dragon's Approach, and he's just going to burn you out and then grab dragons.
Does he have Korvold?
Does he have any? How many dragons does he have? Hold on.
Yeah, he's only got
one, he's only got two. A red dragon, a volcanic dragon, a Terror of the Peaks. Okay, he's got Gold Span Purifying. He's got like five dragons. Okay.
Yeah. Smoldering Egg. And Smoldering Egg's a dragon.
Dragonkin Berserker.
I think he missed out on Korvold. I think Korvold here, as we found out in my red deck, it's like, that's a five? I'm doing five damage to you now?
Which one?
Korvold.
That's three colors.
Oh, not Korvold. Shit. My red commander there. Brain fry.
Oh, Torbern.
Torbern, yeah. I don't think he's running Torbern, is he? I don't see Torbern either.
I don't see Torbern. I don't see Terror of Mount Velis.
Yeah, he does. He has Terror of the Peaks.
And I don't see Dracuseth.
Yeah, he's missing a few pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting...
He's looking to burn him out.
Yeah, he's looking to burn him out. I probably would have put Torbern in here because you're going to draw through your deck a little bit easier. You get Torbern out. Swinging instead for three for five is kind of nice. Plus, it's another thing that they absolutely have to deal with if you're playing mono. Now, Angel's Knight is also running a mono-colored deck. He's running mono-blue Baral. That's an interesting matchup.
This is old-school counter-everything deck.
Yes. So,
but luckily for Vamp, the Inferno of the Star Mounts can't be countered.
Right. And I think that's going to be what's going to kick him over the edge on this one. I don't think he's going to get to play the game he wants to play with Dragon's Approach. In fact, if you get a fistful of Dragon's Approach, I mean, playing Baral, you may want to mulligan to try to find some other things to try to sneak in there. I mean, you can sneak Dragon's Approach in because on turn three, he's probably going to play something a little more, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's... Definitely, I'm gonna go with Vamp on this one. I think
I'm gonna lean towards the blue deck. I think blue is stronger. I think just he might be able to just keep things under control long enough to just take over the game.
Yeah.
This will be an interesting matchup. So I hope many we get counter to see spells.
This. Yeah, I hope we get. I hope somebody records this.
You know, it's a lucky thing that this is Brawl, so people don't think to play, like, what was it, Test of Talents, whatever it is, one that counters it and then exiles copies from their library. It's be like, oh, Dragon's Approach, and poof, they're all gone.
Wah, wah.
I just got a fifth of your deck.
All right, let's do Bardo Burns versus Apollo. So he's got, I keep losing.
Krenko.
Yeah. Krenko. So, again, another mono red deck. Many, many goblins. I'm not sure if Krenko was the way to go.
Krenko's the way to go.
I don't know. I like Mogulus or whatever it is there.
No, Krenko's the way to go because you want to play like some random goblin on turn one. Doesn't matter what it is. Turn two. Maybe a Skirk Prospector, and then you want to follow it up with a Goblin Warchief or some other way to give creatures haste. You plop down Krenko, make a shit ton of goblins, and they're all swinging in at the same time. Krenko can kill you on turn four.
That's true. And he's got Cavalcade, so.
Yeah, Krenko can straight up just murder your face before you have a chance to do anything.
Wow.
When I'm playing Brawl and I run up against a Krenko deck, I'm like, I know that I have to have a very fast hand or a hand with a lot of early interaction or I'm dead. I'm straight up dead because this deck will run you over.
Yeah.
Well, it can stall out though. If he stumbles on mana at all, he's fucked.
Well, Apollo's playing Nicol Bolas the Ravager. So, Esper. Or not Esper.
No, this is Grixis.
Grixis, that's what I meant to say. Interesting.
Lots of removal.
Lots of removal.
He's going to need to draw that removal. Deck.
Yeah.
Extinction Event is going to be huge for him.
Yes. Agonizing Remorse. So he could try to get things out. He's got a couple of Nicol Bolas's. He's got Eternal Kefnet. Man, it's hard to root against the Goblin deck.
I think the Krenko deck has it's aggro versus control. I think aggro is better than control in this case.
Yeah.
If the control deck, this is the thing. The control deck needs to draw well. The aggro deck doesn't necessarily have to.
Right.
All he has to do is stick a couple of things, and if the control deck stumbles, he's in trouble. Not to say that he can't win the game. Absolutely he can. I mean, there's enough interaction in here to really keep things at bay and stall the board to the point where he can take over. But
he has to draw. Perfect.
If the Goblin deck curves out, he's in a lot of trouble. That clock is really quick.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I think I might have to go with Krenko too, which I hate rooting against App, but yeah.
Yeah, Goblins is a tough one for that deck to draw.
All right, so next up we've got HP Wizard versus Kinetic. So Levi and HP.
Oof.
HP is playing Perun.
Niv-Mizzet Perun, yep.
And Levi is playing Kinnan.
Another one of those decks that can just absolutely explode on turn 3 or 4. I mean, I've seen turn 3 Crater Hoofs for lethal.
True. It's Kinnan. It's Kinnan. It's how is it not Kinnan?
Let me see. There's ways that it's not Kinnan.
Yeah.
I'm gonna see.
Well, Pact of Negation helps for Craterhoof. If he could stop Craterhoof.
Yeah, but he's got to get it and then have the 5 mana the next turn. Magma Quake. Okay, Sweltering Suns. He's got some early board wipes that he could cast. I'm looking for Curiosity.
I'm not seeing
Curiosity in here. Curiosity is not in here. So he does not have the infinite combo.
No.
So for those of you who don't know, Niv-Mizzet Perun, if you enchant him with Curiosity, the second anybody casts an instant or sorcery or you draw a card, you win the game. Because he'll deal a damage, which Curiosity will trigger to make you draw a card, which will trigger Niv-Mizzet to make you deal a damage, and then just you are off to the races. And if they try to interact with you in any way, instant or sorcery, you're that triggers Niv-Mizzet, which draws you a card, which deals you a damage, and starts the chain all over again. So you would need something with split second to deal with that. And the only thing that's there is Krosan Grip. So, yeah, if he had Curiosity in this deck and he managed to stick it on Niv-Mizzet Perun, it's a time bomb.
Yeah,
and there's really not many ways to stop it, short of like a Ravenous Chupacabra or something.
Right. Wow. Yeah. So.
That's a real miss on HP's part.
I think I'm gonna have to go with Kinnan on this one though.
Yeah, I think without the infinite combo, I think that's a big out that HP Wizard does not have access to.
Right.
I think that tips the scales for me. I think Kinnan is favored. I don't think it's definitely not a runaway.
Yeah, it's not. They'll go to 3 games.
Niv-Mizzet is crazy good. I mean, I have a Niv-Mizzet deck, so it's really really good, but. I think Kinnan has the advantage here, just because there's certain things missing from HP's deck that I think should be in there.
Right. Well, let's move on to Too Tall Tim versus JVA, our host of the our sister podcast here. Levi's saying he thought he saw Curiosity in there.
Did he? Let me look again. Oh, yeah, it is there. Okay.
Oh, good. Is it? Oh.
It is there, yeah. All right, good.
All right, Levi, sucks to be you. Dominus Ominous, you missed the bus. Keep a counterspell. All right, Tim versus JVA.
I think I wasn't expecting it to be so high on the list. That's why.
Yeah, but then again, if you're playing Niv-Mizzet, wouldn't you put that to the top? Like, look what I have. Oh, yeah, one second. Look at that, yeah.
Yeah.
So Tim is running Adeline Resplendent Cathar, which I don't know her.
That's a new one. Adeline Resplendent Cathar is a star four for one and two white legendary human knight with vigilance. Its power is equal to the number of creatures you control, and whenever you attack for each opponent, you create a 1/1 white human creature token that's tapped and attacking that player or a planeswalker they control.
Shit.
It's sort of like a Hero of Bladehold, Brimaz type card that just it makes dudes and she gets
so
bigger.
So he's playing white
it.
Humans, really. Tim's playing
this
white
is, humans. Yeah, this is white, go wide, kill things.
Yeah. And he's going up against Jake, our Cantrip Cartel co-host there. And Jake's playing one of my faves. I'm rooting for Jake. I'm sorry. I love First Sliver.
It's not as powerful here as it is in Commander.
Not as powerful here, no. But
you got to be a little lucky with the First Sliver.
Yeah, but I think he's got it more than. I'm gonna go with Tim on this one. I think, or Jake.
Sorry, you going Jake. With Slivers?
Going with Slivers, man. It's hard to root against the Slivers, yo.
It's when it's five color Slivers versus mono white. Yeah, I think you have to go with Slivers.
Yeah. So. And then the winner of that is going to play Crimson Wolf. So the winner of that is going to play Anthony. So I just moved it. Okay. Anthony gets a bye. So winner of that, Anthony's got Gisa. So whoever wins that is going to be going up against Gisa. Right? Is it? Oh, no, wait. No, Anthony plays the winner of Sophisticated. No, I'm sorry. It wasn't the right spot. So let's go to Dragon King versus X-Gold.
All right.
Dragon King is, and I mean, he's in the chat too, so feel free to chime in, brother. Dragon King is playing a really great commander. He's playing Dina.
My favorite creature from Strixhaven.
Yeah, just a good card. So he's playing elves, really, kind of, it looks like. No, he's not playing elves.
No, this is like Golgari aggro. A lot of life, a lot of triggers to feed off of. Yeah. It's like life gain. Golgari, yeah. Life gain, life loss triggers. It's just it to take advantage of Dina's ability. I don't want to say like aristocrats, but there's a lot of sacrifice and stuff like that in here.
Right.
I like it.
And he's going up against a tough matchup, Winota.
Winota can be kind of nuts.
yeah. Because... I kind of want to root for Dina, but...
This is Boros aggro.
Yeah. Well, it's Winota. It's Winota humans.
Yeah.
Wow.
Angrath Marauders.
Here's the thing. I mean, he can deal with Winota, and if you deal with Winota, his deck kind of gets hobbled. Like, he needs Winota to be out there.
I'm pulling for Dina, like I said, only because that's my favorite card from Strixhaven. I love Winota.
And I'm going to pull for it, too. I think Dragon's got... And it's not just, like, a heart thing. I think Dragon's got it. Like I said, he's got ways to deal with Winota. And once you deal with Winota, you have to worry about Embercleave, obviously. But, yeah, he's got... I'm gonna go.
This will go the distance for sure. Three games for sure. I think if Winota draws hot, I think Winota can run him over.
True. Well, and then the winner of that is gonna play Gisa, Glorious Resurrector, Anthony's deck. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm not familiar with her either. Actually,
she is a 4/4 for 2/2 black legendary human wizard. If a creature an opponent controls would die, exile it instead. At the beginning of your upkeep, put all creature cards exiled with Gisa onto the battlefield under your control. They gain decayed.
Interesting. So he's got a lot of removal, and then I get to play with your cards.
Yeah, I'm going to kill all your stuff and then kill you with that.
Yes, kill you with your own shit.
He's got Phyrexian Obliterator. I love it.
I love it. He's got Gray. He's got Gary sitting in there. He's got Massacre Worm. I'm sure he's got Massacre Girl. I love that. I love that deck. I really do.
Godpro Statue. This is kind of like Mono Black Stacks.
Yeah.
A lot of sacrifice. There's a couple of taxing cards in here. I mean, there's an Immortal Sun. There's a God Pharaoh Statue.
So he's drawing.
There's a Turgrid.
Which, you know, why didn't you play Turgrid as your commander? Interesting. But, yeah, I... Anthony's got a good deck. I mean, it depends on who he ends up playing. He's got a better... I think he's well-suited for either one of these guys.
A lot of removal.
Yeah. But he's better suited for Winota. That's for sure. Well, let's go on to the next one. Our late entry, J-Grow.
Hate
he
your
put
deck.
Together a quick. You hate Garuda.
Hate Garuda.
I love Garuda. I like his deck here. I like what he put together.
He's got Xanathar in there. This is like salt.deck. I'm going to mill you out. I'm going to cast your spells. Yeah. You can't cast spells. Ulamog's in here.
Yeah.
This is a deck that just would make me want to punch a screen.
Think he'll win? I think he goes to at least the corners.
Who's he playing? He's playing Kari Zeb Skyship Raider. Mono red. Interestingly enough, not a lot of really good targets for Garuda to take.
Right.
This might be a bad matchup for him.
This might be a bad matchup for him. I'm looking at it too, going, huh. An Ember, I mean, could you imagine an Ember Cleave on Glorybringer? Holy shit. I think it goes to three. I think he has more tools. Interesting.
This deck can kill you quick.
Yeah, it can.
Grunt's deck can kill you real quick. I'm gonna lean like 60-40 towards Grunt.
I'm leaning towards J-Grow. I'm 60-40.
I think the more aggressive decks I think have a little bit more of an advantage in Brawl because of the lower life total. It's a lot easier to deal 25 than it is to deal 40.
True. So our next matchup, our buddy Nick, three guesses what he's playing, versus Bowfinger Fan. So Nick is obviously playing four color Omnath, Locus of Creation.
Oh, he drew a short straw, though.
Oh, boy, did he.
You sure these pairings were random?
They were totally random, but he gets Golos.
He got. So it's the Omnath versus Golos, which is basically, if you're playing Brawl and Arena, that's basically what happens. If you're playing either one of those decks, you're going to see the other one, like, all the time.
Right.
So he should hopefully have a familiarity with the matchup to know what he needs to do. But that goes both ways.
Yeah. Golos, he's got him outmatched. In almost every manner.
Golos is just a better card.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason.
But Omnath can and has beaten it. I've beaten plenty of Golos decks with Omnath. It can be done.
And Nick's got the experience with it, and he's got the right tools. He is running a Coma. He's running the Genesis Ultimatum. He's got Lotus Cobra in there. He has to curve. There's no way around. He's running Scoot Swarm. So he has to curve it out.
He needs a turn three Omnath, and it needs to start going crazy for him on turn four.
Yep. I kind of got to lean towards Bowfinger.
Let me look at his deck list one more time. He needs... Let's see. Is that... Da, 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 da. Ultimatum. Cultivate. Roiling Regrowth. Okay, yeah. So he basically needs turn two. He needs land. Does he have Llanowar Elves? No, but that's all right. So he'll need land, whatever. Turn two Cobra. Turn three Omnath. Turn four, it should be like Fabled Passage into like Migration Path or something to get all of his triggers, get the extra mana, start casting some extra stuff. Does he have? He has Morog. Okay. Yeah. His deck is good.
He's got the right tools.
Nick's got a good list. Bowfinger Fan's got a good list. So it's really, this is going to be who goes first. Who goes first, who misses their first land drop, that's the player who loses the game.
Right.
Because it's going to be that quick.
Our final matchup, going before, because Hippofam has a bye, and he plays the winner of this. We have Meriwether versus Mark M. So Meriwether is running Cody, so another five color. And Mark is running a Sigarda, Champion of Light. Mark was the one I talked about who wanted to kind of switch his commander, and I was like, dude, you kind of can't. I'll be honest. I worked with Mark a little bit on this. Outside, I was just like, you know, a few things. Like I pointed him to, it's like, dude, you know, if you're gonna run a token deck, Anointed Procession, like it's almost an auto include, like that sort of thing. But yeah, Merryweather's got, he's got the five color toys. He's Cody, running approach of the second sun. Cody's like he's looking to finish deck. This, huh?
Cody is a very strong commander.
It is.
I'm thinking Merryweather's got this.
I kind of do too. I did, you know, the help I gave to Mark was kind of like, I didn't know he was going to play Cody, but I was like, you know, yeah, it's a weaker of the commanders. But he's got as much as he can in here. He's got some pretty good stuff. I think he pulls one out. He can go wide. But true. Cody,
if you catch him at the right, if you're able to hit Cody early hard,
yeah,
you can win that way as well. I'm not saying he has no chance. He obviously has a chance.
Right.
I feel that Cody's favored though.
Yeah. Oh, I do too. I'm not root for, but I think Cody's got this a little bit more. Did he pull Anointed back out? Because he changed his deck a few times.
It's hard to tell when it's not in the alphabetical order.
Oh no, it's in there. Okay, yeah. Because I'm like, you can't run a. Yeah, you gotta run a. You know,
if he was going wide.
Yeah.
Is he running Cathar's Crusade?
I didn't tell him about that. To tell you the truth, I didn't want to go too crazy.
That in a token deck? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I know.
Token comes in, everything gets +1/+1 counter. Another token comes in, they all get +1/+1 counter. Yeah. You don't have to worry about all the bookkeeping with it. It's in Arena, it's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
That should definitely have been in here.
I don't see it.
But I mean, let me see. I'm looking for one of his token creators here.
I'm not seeing. Well, I mean, Adeline. Yeah.
So say he had a Cathar's Crusade on the battlefield. He attacks with Adeline. The token comes in. All of his attacking creatures, or all of his creatures, period, get +1/+1 counters. And if there's an Anointed Procession, that's two tokens coming in, which is two triggers on Cathar's Crusade. each getting +2/+2.
Yeah.
I mean, Cathar's Crusade should have been in here somehow.
Yeah. So I am probably thinking Merryweather's got a better shot. And then Hippopham is running a very interesting deck. Svealun of the Sea and Sky.
Svealun.
Svealun. I have no idea.
Svealun. It's like, hard. That's a hard one. It's easy. It's harder than Azmorano, Mardika, Dacian, and Kaldekar. But it's word soup.
He's playing Blue Merfolk, basically.
Yeah.
And
he's got Frogify. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, more power to him. He's got a lot of Embolus clutches. He's got a lot. Yeah.
Frogify's great. You kidding me? It's like, oh, that's a nice Golish you got there. It'd be a shame if it was a 1/1 frog with no abilities.
So I think he's got a good shot, too. So
Mass Manipulation's an extremely powerful card.
It is.
I'm sad, though.
Why?
Nobody played Zakama.
I'm not sad because nobody played Zakama. I have to play Zakama like a week from Wednesday, and you know what? Fuck that. But, so that's kind of it. That's our 30 decks, man. So I think Jagro is in a position to three-peat with the right matchup. He has to really do well in that first matchup.
And I think it's going to be one of the five-color soup decks that takes it.
Yeah.
Honestly. I think if it's not Golos, it'll be Kenrith.
That's a very real possibility. I still like Dragon King's Dina, but I don't know that it can go all the way.
I love all the decks that were picked. I just the way that Brawl works right now, I feel like especially Golos is in such a good position because it's so easy to cast. You never get color screwed with Golos.
Right.
So, I mean, if you're hitting your land drops on time, Golos is coming in turn 3, 4, 5. Well, 4 or 5. But even still, then he's ramping you. You're grabbing Field of the Dead. You're starting to just generate that value. And that's a card that needs to go in from Brawl. I really feel like, I mean, not so much Field of the Dead, but Golos, just I think that needs to go.
I agree.
They banned the commander disagree. For a reason.
Yeah. So I'm definitely excited for it. So here's what's happening. If you're listening to this right now, in 15 minutes or 13 minutes, the balloon goes up and you guys can fight each other out. Brawl begins. The tournament begins. Again, if you have the opportunity, please record your matches using OBS, using any number of things to record the match. Get it to me through Dropbox or Google G Drive. We will put it together. I'll put the show together. Aramis and I will then call the match. So you don't need any audio. Aramis and I will do a featured match where we go over those at some point in the very near future. But I think that's it. So you're thinking Five Colors got this.
If I had to pick a deck that wasn't Five Color, put a gun to my head.
Nimizzet Perun. That instant win.
I don't even know. I don't know if it would be that. I mean, it might be Kinnan.
Or Inferno.
I don't think it's going to be that. No.
Kenrith? No. Or not Kenrith. What's it?
I really like Krenko? The Kinnan deck.
Yeah, I do too.
Krenko could do it. Krenko could do it if it runs hot. But if I absolutely had to pick one, I'm thinking maybe the Kinnan deck has the most. It's
most hard
consistent.
To beat the Five Colors. I don't think Jake is going to take it with the Sliver, obviously. As much as I'd love to see that, I do think it's going to be probably a Golos deck. I think it's going to be the Golos deck. Bowfinger's also really good. He's a really good player. He knows how to play that deck.
But that's also why they play. Yeah. See the decks on paper doesn't mean they're going to win. So good luck to everybody. May the mana gods be in your favor. May that arena shuffler take the day off.
Absolutely. So, and with that, you know what? That's a really great place for us to go to.
End step.
All right. So end step. So as Aramis and I roll up our play mats and put them back in their little canisters and put our cards in the boxes and take our pizza boxes. Oh, my God. What the hell did I drink? Put the pizza boxes next to the trash because, damn it, your mother still does not work.
You drank that straight cone liquor.
Damn it, your mother still does not work in dispenser gifts. We want to remind you that we have a Twitch channel where we stream all of our content. Look up Planestalkers Podcast on Twitch. And there you're going to see all the shows we do on both Magic and as well as I play a lot of other geeky games that I do stream there. You can also follow me on Twitch at Minecrime73. I'd appreciate the follow. I do play DCU Online there. I've been playing Minecraft a little bit more these days. So you can check it out there, Minecrime73.
And if you'd rather interact with the show in a more real-time fashion, I mean, a lot of you have been doing it tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Our Discord is the place to be. Very active community, especially during this time when we're doing our winter boxes, but even when the tournaments aren't going on, there's usually somebody or a group of people hanging around willing to chat or pick up a game if that's what you're looking for. So discord.planestalkerspodcast.com, that's where you'll go to find this great community. If you want to get in on our Wednesday night games, that's where you need to go. If you want to get in on these winter box games, that's where you need to go. So like I said, discord.planestalkerspodcast.com. We also do have a Twitter account. If you want to get in touch with us that way, we'll tweet when we go live. Maybe if something else really big happens, we want to get it out to you guys right away. Follow us. Our handle on Twitter is @PlanestalkerPod.
And my personal Twitter is @WRBenson. Now, I don't tweet there very often, but, you know, if you wanted to give me a follow there, that'd be cool. And, of course, you can follow us on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/Planestalker. Like and follow our page there. It's not Planestalkers because some airplane junkie took it over. Yeah, jerk. But just go there, facebook.com/planestalker. And also don't forget, Wednesday night we do have a playcast where we play Commander Craft. It's Aramis and I and two listeners. This week Levi's playing game one because he won last week.
Yeah, what's
and
he playing
then,
again?
Huh?
What's he playing again?
Pillow Fort, I think.
Okay, I think I'm picking a deck at random.
Yeah, I think I'm going to probably try to do the red deck again because I really want to see if I can. I spent some money on that. I want to play. So We do play Paper Commander there live. We're looking for one more. So if you're a patron, you have until tomorrow morning. You get first dib. Otherwise, anyone is available. Just hit us up on our Discord to sign up for that. Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern is when we do it. So tune in there. Or if you, like I said, if you want to play and you have a webcam, let us know on our Discord.
And finally, if you want to get in touch with us via email, there are three email addresses you can use to talk to us. We will read your email on the show, especially if it's something interesting.
I read them all. Even if it's bad, I read it. If you're like, wow, Will needs to shut the F up, I'd be like, actually, that would go right to the front of the line. Like, look at this. Somebody said I need to shut up.
So, yeah, if you want to see that.
But don't tell me to places. Shut up.
Shut up. I'm talking.
Yeah, there's anyway, something in that beer.
Yeah. There's three email addresses. First one goes to both of us, podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com. If you want to talk to Will directly and tell him to lay off the triple IPAs, it's Ooh. will@planestalkerspodcast.com because they wreck his face. It's not a good time.
And what's your email, sir?
It got deleted. I don't know what happened. It's Aramis, Aramis, at planestalkerspodcast.com. Send us an email.
Yes, and on that note, we want to thank you guys for hanging out and listening to the Planestalker Podcast tonight. We will be back next Monday. Who knows what we're talking about? Probably some Commander Craft stuff. We'll probably go over some pre-releasing update on the Winnabots. Don't forget, Wednesday night is Commander Craft. So hopefully we can crush Levi because he needs to be. We thank you guys for listening. We will be back next week. So have a wonderful week. Thank you very much and have a good one. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.